stay with my in-laws until the power comes back on, and the cat killed a mouse, and it's in the living room.
Oh, God.
And I don't know what to do.
That's a good cat. Is there anyone else home?
Her parents are in Lexington. Sydney is in New York. I literally don't know what to do.
Is there an adult you can call?
I have no adults I can call in the area.
They didn't leave you, like, a list of numbers of adults you can call?
There are no numbers of adults. I'm serious, guys. I do not know what I'm going to do about this situation.
Do you know what I just realized?
What?
You're a grown-up.
No, I'm not in this situation.
Why can't you do this?
Not in this scenario.
Is there a...
What do you mean? Do what, Chris?
Have I never told you about the rat apocalypse?
Now, hold on. Don't tell me about this weird, gross thing. Tell me what I should do to make there not be a mouse in the living room.
Okay, here's what you do. Get a towel from the
bathroom. What are you even saying?
Get a towel.
Where is a towel?
Get anything. Get a ratty shirt. Take your shirt off. Go into the room. Pick the mouse up. Wrap it in it. Throw it in the trash.
Knowing your condition and your scenario, I think you gotta go full-blown Ripley. I think you gotta burn the whole house down.
Hello, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
Hi, everybody. My name is Griffin McElroy, and the best game of the week might not be mine.
Hi, everybody. My name is Christopher Plant, and my game got a 10 out of 10.
My name is Russ Frostick, and I know the best game of the week.
You're the judge.
Yeah, that's why I know the best game of the week, because I'm picking it.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. This is, of course, The Besties, a show where the four of us best friends meet to talk about the new releases of the week and try to figure out which one reigns supreme. Once we pick our winner, it will battle our current champion in Mortal Kombat in a fight to the finish. What is our current champion?
Still Gravity Rush?
Gravity Rush.
Might be time to retire that one, guys.
I think we got to retire Gravity Rush.
Let's make the decision before we go in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy with it going to the end for it to be a nominee for Game of the Year at the end of this.
What are our current Game of the Year nominees? Does anybody remember?
Max Payne 3. Okay. We got Journey.
SSX.
And SSX.
And Walking Dead, right?
And Walking Dead.
We should talk about Walking Dead briefly. Justin, do you want to mention that?
I played the second episode, and we should have a review up at some point. But if you haven't played it, get on it.
Yeah, but it's not going to be...
I played the first episode, and it was terrific, so...
It's not a nominee this week, because...
Well, it just seems with the episodic thing, it seems weird to keep busting it back out. The first one just came out 2 weeks ago. But,
2 weeks?
It was two months ago.
But the point is, it's already a nominee for Game of the Year at the end of this, so when we review all these games, we'll address it as, like, the whole package, not just...
Oh, man, that's gonna be hard to beat.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough
game. I'm assuming. I haven't played it because it seems a little spooky for my taste.
Yeah, it is definitely spooky.
I prefer it kooky, Russ, a la Sam and Max, not spooky.
Right, not spooky, or ooky, for that matter. Russ, as the commissioner this week, maybe you could tell us who's going to go first.
As the commissioner this week, I have determined the best way to determine who will go first is...
It's like jazz. Yeah.
Say. Go.
You can hear it.
Okay, we're going by. How much power you have.
Okay.
I've got all the power. I mean, no one man should have this much power.
I have been without power since Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Griffin, would you say you have a medium amount of power?
I would say that my power levels are average. I'm pretty sunburnt right now. So I aim for sun-kissed when I go out in the sun, and I overshot it by a few degrees. So
you gift.
I'm a little sluggish.
Okay, so I guess we'll go least to most power, starting with Mr. Justin McElroy.
Okay, so my game this week didn't technically come out this week. It's been out for a few weeks, but it's a Facebook game, so a lot of people are still getting on board with it, and it is ever changing and ever evolving. But my game this week is You Don't Know Jack on Facebook, on the book.
When did this game originally come out? Was it 1971?
Well, I mean, the You Don't Know Jack itself dates back to the early to mid-90s, but this is, of course, You Don't Know Jack in name only. It is a Facebook version of the game. It's kind of smart how they work it out. So there are, it is broken up into five-question games. Each one probably takes 5 to 7 minutes to play through it. The question types and the questions themselves are all new. Question types are some that you might remember. They have, you know, like a gibberish question where they say a series of nonsense words and you have to identify the idiom that they sound like. But you don't actually play with people simultaneously, at least. Your scores are pitted against people who are friends of yours who've already played through this particular game. So you see what questions they got wrong and what questions they got right and how quickly they buzzed in on certain things. So it's not unlike playing with other people. They don't have the only thing that's notably missing that's sort of like a You Don't Know Jack staple is the screw option, because you can't force someone to answer questions when they're not playing at the same time as you.
What about the most important You Don't Know Jack option, the voice of Funky Winkerbean or whatever his name is?
Sorry, Cookie Masterson?
Yeah, him.
Cookie's way up in it.
Okay.
Cookie hosts all the episodes. The best thing is, like, the freeness of it is not just a sham like with a lot of Facebook games. You can keep playing. The only thing you have to buy, well, there's three things you can buy. One is you can buy more games. You can play a game a day, and that's no problem. You get a free game a day. If you want to play more, and you earn free games when you level up. You level up by accumulation of cash. When you level up, you get a free game. If you want to play more than that, you can buy additional games. I usually find that one is like the perfect amount. It's kind of like a fun little 5-minute diversion during the day. I don't feel much need to play more than that. You can also buy score enhancers, which will give you a percentage boost to your score. So like 10 or 20 or 50% to your score. People always know when you're using one of these. It's very obvious. So it can make it kind of a Pyrrhic victory, but if you need a little bump, need a little kick. And those are the only things that you spend money on. I mean, there's social hooks, but it's nothing egregious. It's always, you know, you have the option to, like, brag after you get a good score, or go to your friends' walls and dump on them, or after you get a score, you can send it to friends to have them challenge it if they're not currently playing, and everybody will get double cash. But it's all very, it's fun, and it's good-natured, and none of it is, like, sort of crass, like a lot of these social games are. But it's a ton of fun, and I've really been enjoying it. I've been really impressed by how ethically they've handled the Facebook space. Managed to keep it really fun for free, and I really dig it.
I agree with all the things that
you're playing too. I know you're up in it.
Said. Yeah,
it does a lot of stat tracking too. So like you can see what percentage of times you've been smarter than your friends, and like it gives you an overall percentage of like dumbness or smartness compared to them. You're 20% dumber than they are or whatever. So that's pretty fun too.
Okay. My only problem is that it does kind of it hands out the free games pretty liberally when you're in the lower levels. You get a free game for every level up you get, but as the leveling slows, I don't know, it kind of feels like it's the pace of the game slows down unless you do pony up a little bit of cash for it. And
that's only if you want to play more than once a day, though, right?
Right.
You always get that one free game a day.
That's right. But the big bummer is that if you close, I'm sort of a fast and furious internet browser. If you close the window of your You Don't Know Jack game while the game is open, it's gone, and then you lose that free game. I don't even know where that episode goes. Like, you can't I haven't found a way to play it again. And I understand, like, the reason for doing that is if, like, somebody's doing a bad job, then they can just close the window and then restart the thing and then know all the questions and answers and stuff. But
not to mention cheating, just stopping to, yeah, right, just cheat in general.
When you're not cheating, it's just a bummer.
Okay, Justin, since I am the commissioner this week, I want to give you the chance to earn some bonus points with a trivia question.
Okay.
In favor of your game. You ready?
Yeah.
In the television show Mary and Rhoda, what was Rhoda's maiden name?
I have no idea.
The correct answer was Morgenstern. Rhoda
Morgenstern.
Morgenstern.
Of course.
No bonus points have been earned this round. Maybe next time.
Thanks. Thanks for giving me the shot. I just appreciate the chance.
No problem.
Anyway, I'd encourage you to play it. It's like I said, it's You Don't Know Jack. It's a lot of fun.
You know what I always loved? In that one You Don't Know Jack game, and I forget which one it was. It was one of the ones that didn't have Cookie Masterson, and it had that other guy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You could type in "f you" as an answer, and he would like say something about how you have a potty mouth, and he would attract points from you. And then if someone else said "f you," they'd be like, "Oh, cool! So this is what the show's about now. That's fun. That's really great." And he'd attract points from you. And then if the third person said "f you," he's like, "All right, I'm done," and he would like close the program.
That's awesome.
He would close the game on.
Was it Nate Shapiro?
It was. Yeah, it was. It was just Shapiro was his name. It was just one name, and the name was Shapiro.
Was he a mouse?
Was it? Was it Schmitty?
It was Schmitty. That is correct.
He was the TV and the ride, and I think the Net Show.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Paul Rubens, short-lived, game show on television.
Troy Stevens.
Troy Stevens, sorry, Troy Stevens. Look that shit up on YouTube. It's not gonna treat you good. It's
gonna give
you the willies, I think.
It's gonna unnerve you, I'd say.
I would say that it's unnerving. A game show with a plot, yucko.
Legend of the Hidden Temple had a plot.
Can I go now, or are we going to talk about Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yeah, as the person with the medium amount of power, I would say, Griffin, it is time for you to pitch your game.
Side note, this past Halloween, I went to a party dressed as a blue barracuda from Legends of the Hidden Temple. I had the shirt and everything, and cargo pants, and a yellow helmet.
Is it just a blue shirt and cargo pants?
I mean, it had the yellow barracudas on it.
Did you have your name tag?
They didn't have name tags.
Oh.
Were there, like, five other blue barracudas there?
There were. No, nobody knew who I was.
Did a lion jump out of a closet and grab you?
These were my contemporaries.
That's shocking.
I don't know. I know. Anyway, my game of the week this week is Outwitters. It is a new iOS turn-based strategy game by, I think it's one, what's the name of the
one
man left?
One Man Left, something like that?
One Man Left, the creators of Tilt to Live.
Ooh,
so,
shit, getting this now.
Yeah. It's free. Which is good. It is very, very, very similar to Hero Academy, except it is hex-based. It takes place on a hex-based board instead of just a rectangular board. And
I'm out.
Well, you don't like hexes?
I don't like Hero Academy.
What?
Oh, okay.
I didn't really like Hero Academy.
Well, then you're... I'll be honest, you're probably not going to care for this very much. It's
good thing he's not commish.
It's entirely player versus player. And you control a team with different classes in it. Like there's a scout type class and a all around class and a heavy and a sniper and so you move these classes around the battlefield, and the point of the game is to get to your enemy's base and destroy it with your guys, and you have like energy reserves. You can take five turns basically in your turn, but you can earn more turns by controlling these control points on the map, so you kind of have to balance your strategy between defending and attacking and also going after these different resources to boost your team, because the resources let you move, they let you attack, and they let you build new units. So it's really, really nicely paced. Taking a turn takes like 2 or 3 minutes of, you know, sort of strategically observing the map. There's fog of war, so you like have to really get your units into the enemy's space to like tell what they're doing, which Hero Academy doesn't have, and it adds some deeper levels of strategy. It seems pretty beefy. It's free, and they charge, I think, like $199 for each additional team you want to get, or you can just pay $299 to get all of the teams and all of the teams that will be added in the future, which
is... So I don't understand. So if you're not paying, are you just like using the default?
You start with one team, yeah.
Is it random which team you start with?
No, you start with the Scalawags, which are sort of a mutant sea monster pirate hybrid class. But then there's like a robot class, and then there's an adorable team that's all like teddy bears and stuff.
So you'll want to spend a little bit of money.
You don't have to, because the teams, all of the classes are uniform, except there's one bonus class that each team has that's different. Like for the Scalawags, they have like a giant hermit crab, which is also a cannon. But those cost like a bunch of energy to spawn, and so you really can't do anything else on your turn but create them. So, but yeah, it's neat. It's satisfying. And the only problem I can foresee is, you know, the same problem that I had with Hero Academy, which is I want to take my turn right now, but I can't. But there's a lot of options for getting into a random match or a ranked match. There's like a ladder system, or like a match with a friend. And there's push notifications that like tell you when it's your turn and stuff. So that will hopefully abate a lot of that. So, yeah, that's Outwitters.
It's free. How would you describe the art style?
Sort of cartoony, sort of reminiscent of the Risk game that came out, which in and of itself was sort of reminiscent of Penny Arcade. But, yeah, it's mostly cartoony.
Like now, okay. What about people like Justin? Because I'm sure a lot of people heard strategy game and they immediately zoned out.
Oh, when I say strategy game, it is not a level of depth more than a board game.
That wasn't even actually
are
what
we talking about. Like, which board game are we talking about? Are we talking about Guess Who? Are we talking about Mousetrap?
Like Axis and Allies?
Othello?
Mousetrap?
Go.
13 go. Dead and Drive?
No, the level of strategy is move your guy next to a guy and then hit them.
So like Guess Who?
Yeah, pretty much like Guess Who. Because in Guess Who,
with Hero Academy, like, I thought the mechanics were okay. I just didn't like, A, I don't like waiting on people, and B, I didn't like, I would ask, like, hey, who wants to play Hero Academy? And then I got 30 invites. I was like, deleting the app.
Yeah.
No. I can't handle all this pressure.
Yeah, I mean, the easy way around that is to just not do that and just play with randos or play up the ladder. And try.
I just
try
got
and
crushed in Hero Academy. Because, like, yeah, I was destroying Brian for a good long time, and my ego was inflated. And I played Jamie from Clay. Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah,
Clay.
And it was humiliating. Like,
well, Hero Academy relies a lot on luck, right? Like, you get those little items that you can put on your characters, and if you get a good string of those and put them all in one guy, you can clean up. And there's really nothing like that here. It's all like strategy, and like depending on which map you start on, all of your like starting units all start in the same places, so you can almost develop your own strategies that you can play against people over and over again and sort of work it out without relying on any element of luck whatsoever,
like a chess.
Sort of like chess, yeah, sure. Which seems really rewarding. I'm like, I started two games right away. In both games my units started out in the same places. And so I'm sort of going with different strategies. Like, in one, I'm trying to capture all the control points and then saving up for bigger units. And one, I'm just trying to rush and get into their base as fast as I can to see if that works. So it seems like it'll really lend itself to refining a set strategy that you can use every time you play that map.
That all sounds well and good, but...
Yeah.
Are you prepared to answer the bonus question?
Yeah.
For bonus points. Is this something you're
gonna... Okay.
You ready?
I don't want to, but I guess I'll do it.
This will give your game a better chance of winning.
Okay!
In the film Porgy and Bess, who played Sportin' Life?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
The correct answer was Mr.
Can I try again?
I already said it. Sammy Davis Jr.
Sammy Davis.
Did you know that one, Justin?
Yeah, and you know who plays him? Sammy Davis Jr., three names. You know who plays him now?
David Allen Greer.
David Allen Greer, three names. Boom. Again. Oh, as if we wouldn't notice.
Boom. Unfortunately, that was not your question.
Do I get points since I answered Justin's question?
Nobody gets points right now. No bonus points have been awarded. Sorry.
Wow.
But Outwater sounds quite cool. I'm interested. I will download
it. It's really neat. It's neat. It seems like it's got legs. Which is really, it's weird when you have a conversation about like an iOS game or really any free-to-play game. It's not like, is it worth your time? Is it going to continue to, you know, grab you?
Yeah. You know who's going to keep his eye on it? Mr. Sammy Davis Jr. His eye on it. Sammy Davis Jr.
Say his eye on it again. See, maybe you'll sell it.
His eye on it.
Okay.
Griffin, Justin, have you changed your feelings about all the apps I brought to the besties early on?
Didn't you bring a game called Ow My Balls?
No, that was me.
No, that was Ross.
Okay.
I brought good games, and every week you slammed them.
I slammed them. Yeah, I think it's just because I didn't care for gaming on my iPhone. I didn't really care for it.
Now you've changed.
But now I've changed. I got that iPad. It really is. It's worlds apart. It's so much better to play a game on an iPad than an iPhone.
Oh, for sure.
If you think like, oh, it's okay because I've got the, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself.
Guys, I haven't had electricity for a week.
Yeah, this is sort of, let me ask you, does it remind you going through the streets of West Virginia, is it more like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome or is it more like Waterworld?
At first, it was very Mad Max to the point where like, you would get reports of stores that had generators, and like there would be a mad rush on them, and there were signs outside of stores that said like "no ice," and things like that. This is a first for me. I actually went to a gas pump, and they were out of gas. It was out of regular gas. I had to pump plus, which doesn't sound that bad now that I think about it. But it was just sort of like a testament to like how crazy things have gotten in the derecho. In this post-derecho world I'm living in.
What does that word mean exactly?
Well, from the Spanish, it means straight line. It's actually a...
I thought it meant right in Spanish.
It's hard to say. Scholars still don't agree on what derecho means. No, it's like a collaboration of thunderstorms that all get into a line and basically bring about like hurricane force winds. We were getting hit by winds that were 90 miles an hour. I mean, it was pretty crazy. There was a plane that actually got flipped at the airport.
Wow.
And basically right after the storm, there was about 60% of the people in the state and like surrounding states were out of power. I mean, there were millions of people without power. Here in my neck of the woods, we had, I think, 500,000 people in the state that were without. That number has gone down to where, for my county at least, there's about a fifth of the people are still out of power. And that does include my house. So that's cool. It's actually really weird to drive around at night because you'll see just whole blocks of and whole neighborhoods that are black in every direction, and that's pretty scary.
Can we go ahead and analyze that sentence you just said?
I have thought about it as I was saying it, and I regretted it.
I was really glad that no one said anything for 2 seconds.
Yeah. It was dark, not black. It was dark. There are upturned trees everywhere, and that's not an exaggeration. On some blocks, there are three or four just like massive uprooted trees. That some of the trees were broken. Some of them literally like just took a big chunk of ground and fell over. It was really bad. We are not built. The state is not organized for those. So we never have a tornado. Never have a hurricane in our neck of the woods.
Usually the mountains like catch that. Yeah. And then like gets rid of it.
Yeah, usually, this time they funneled it to my house and knocked out my power.
Yeah. Okay.
But it took out a lot of Virginia. It took out a lot of Ohio. I know that some people in Columbus, I guess, are still without. So it got pretty bad up there too.
You seem more exotic to me now. You seem like, right. You remember in like elementary, middle school, like one of your friends' houses burned down, and at first you're like, oh man, that sucks. But then you're like,
whoa,
how
he's really special.
He's really special. It's not just that he's seen shit, it's like he's getting back to brass tacks, you know?
Yeah.
You are straight brass tacks right now.
So you're just living life as it was how many years? 300 years ago, basically?
I was yesterday on the 4th, I was
what
sipping.
What do you mean 300 years ago?
You know,
we have to stop and analyze that. Yes, like it was 1712?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Sans power.
Sans power.
So, but you have like wigs and you're riding with.
Yeah,
whales.
I mean it's like powdered wigs.
Well, that's
obviously
what happens, right? When the power
goes
out, everyone
goes. You went and got some whale oil and filled up all your lights. Why 300 years ago? You can go much further.
No, it's awesome because 300 awesome. Years ago they had fire,
right? And 3G. It's awesome. It's awesome the arc that you go on though, because my wife and I were like, the first night we're like, oh, this is so novel. This is so romantic. Like, sat outside and drank a bottle of wine and in the candlelight. Like, literally by the next morning, like, we have to find fucking power. We have to find an outlet or something. We eventually went to, like, the Black Sheep Burritos and Brews, free plug, for brunch, and just kind of sat there and tried to plan our next move, which turned out to be leaving the state to go to Louisville.
But, where would you recommend looting if you're going to go looting?
My neighborhood's still dope. It's really dark there, and there's no electricity, and most of the people seem to have vacated the premises. I have one – there's one guy across the street who has a generator, and I always hated him for it because it meant that he was just, like, living the high life. But now I hate him even more because when I pull up to the house to see, like, I don't know, maybe they've gotten by to fix it, I hear that generator.
There's, like Christmas lights going.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Is he standing
hey,
on the,
neighbor, you,
does he have a shotgun?
Want a daiquiri? No.
Standing on the porch, just like, keep on driving.
Keep on going, man.
Ain't no power for here, you, buddy.
No, but I'm, and of course that's been compiled by the record heat wave sweeping through the area, so it's been pretty rough.
Yeah, they didn't pretty have, rough. They were out of chicken at when I went to Chipotle the other day.
Oh,
so
man.
So I had to get steak. So I sort of get what you're saying.
Yeah. You, like, lost your mind.
Yeah, it was
bad. When I was out by the lake yesterday, we had to park and then walked all the way and set up our blanket and then cracked open some sweet Modelos. And I realized I left the lime juice in the car. And I was like, this is probably the worst thing happening to anyone right now on the planet.
Yeah, I had to take the F train yesterday. So. I know. Yeah.
Well, that sounds lovely. I dare say we have one more game to discuss.
The winner.
Yeah.
The game that's going to win.
The person.
Can I ask you, before we get into this, because I need to see if this is a problem with just me. Do you guys ever have a thing where you're in the app store and you press the button to buy an app and nothing happens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. The logo, like the icon changes, like it changes from like install app to buy app or whatever, and then it just
it's goes even blank. Worse than the music store. Downloading podcast is a mess for me.
No, I
how good is that podcast app, by the way?
It's much Blah. Better.
What podcast
what?
App? Pitch it.
The podcast app sucks.
Have you used the music store app? The podcast app at least works.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least better than, like, you mean in iTunes?
Yeah.
Like, better than iTunes? Yeah, it's better than that, but, like,
it looks
scrolling.
Like like apps that were around with the original. When the iPhone was first released. Like,
yeah, scrolling is impossible. Dated. Like, and it, the whole thing runs incredibly slowly. I don't know. I think I appreciate the effort. Like, I like that they have collected all of the podcasts so you can, like, listen to any episode you want and stuff. I like all that. But, like, woof. I've been trying to buy Outwitters here for, like, a minute. And I just keep – it says free, and I press the button, and it says install app. And I press the button, and it goes right back to free.
I dare say we have one more game to discuss, Mr. Chris Plant.
Yeah, I got a game.
What do you got?
I got a game called Spelunky. That
never
was,
heard of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you haven't. You were briefly the number one in the world, but that's gone now, isn't it?
It's gone.
It's never coming back.
Never coming back.
It's okay. So the game originally came out a few years ago as a free PC game. And it is a procedurally generated Indiana Jones adventure game, I guess is how I describe it. It's a 2D platformer in which you play an adventurer going through these randomly created mines. Each one's a stage. And it's incredibly difficult. I mean, I guess that's the premise. Everything in the world reacts to what you do. So you might set up a trap that'll kill you. You might throw a rock that'll ricochet and kill you. Pretty much any creature except for Yetis is out to eat you or kill you. And the goal is, of course, just to get to the end with the limited resources you have, whether that be your health, rope, bombs, or weapons and supplies that you can buy at stores. And that's pretty much what the game is. The one on 360 is a much prettier version of the original game. It has four-player co-op locally. It also has a four-player multiplayer game that includes bots that is only local. It's more like a Bomberman type of game where it's just a rush to be the last one alive. Sometimes the best tactic is just to stay the hell away from everyone else. And that's it. I mean, it's really simple. I could get into like the very philosophical game design BS that is in my review. That I think it is a perfect video game. I think everything about what a traditional video game is and about how mechanics react to what you do and how you learn to use them to proceed is at the core what this game is. It's like just a system of mechanics. It's like pure cocaine, pure video game. So that's my pitch.
Pure cocaine.
It's just
a box quote right there.
Pure cocaine, pure video game.
What does that even mean?
Like, it's unadulterated. It's just a game. Like, it doesn't have any of the BS that is in so many other games. It's not like weighted down with like story or cutscenes or like tutorials.
So there are no FMV cutscenes in this game?
There are no FMV cutscenes. You just play a game. And you learn from it. It teaches you. And if you don't learn from it, it just keeps killing you. I think there will be some people who don't like the game because it doesn't have any interest in holding your hand. And if you're playing it just to beat it, it will drive you insane because it's more about learning the world and experiencing it than it is about just, you know, beating it in your first half hour of playing. Justin, how did you feel about it? Were you a little put off by the difficulty?
It wasn't the difficulty. I've played games like Super Meat Boy or Dark Souls and actually have seen the appeal of those. I guess with Spelunky, I just didn't like note that like any problems I have with the game are purely philosophical. It has a very clear voice and has a very clear idea of what it wants to be. Like I'm not faulting it necessarily. It's just sort of my own personal thing. But like when I played Super Meat Boy or to a greater extent Dark Souls, I would learn like the world. Like I always think about with Dark Souls that bit in Princess Bride when they're like going through the fire swamp and Wesley knows where all the things are. Like he knows this environment so well. He's learned all its tricks and he can navigate it.
R-O-U-S's.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he knows where everything is. Dark Souls was like that for me, where I got to a point where, like, areas I could get through perfectly because I knew how it happened. For me, playing Spelunky, it just doesn't... I wasn't getting any rewards from it, I guess what my problem was. Like, I wasn't getting that feeling of, like, oh, you're getting better, or... I just learned to be more cautious, but I wasn't getting the reward of like feeling like I was necessarily better at the game, and it doesn't give me some of the hooks that I would hope for to provide some reward when that feeling isn't there. Like, for instance, leaderboards, for example, which you think would be a pretty good motivator, right? Like, well, he got this far, I can certainly get that far. They're super unclear. First off, they're in alphabetical order, which is like the dumbest most bizarre choice in the world to me. Your friends leaderboard is out of order. It doesn't show how you have done in comparison to them. Like at the end of a game or whatever, you have to go into it at the opening menu, and then you see this leaderboard that shows all your friends in alphabetical order, and it shows how much money they've earned. And then it shows a world, but I don't think it's the furthest world they've gotten to.
I think it's where they got to on the run where they got the most money.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. So, like, those rewards being absent seem really – there are things that they could – I feel like they could do to make it more – provide more rewards. But I don't know. I just wasn't having fun with it. I found it pretty frustrating.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I think there is – maybe it's just different from person to person, because I do feel like I'm getting better at the game, because I'm getting further in the game. And to me, the reward is the when you make it to the end of every world, there's a guy who, if you've like saved up a certain number of resources, you can give them to him, and then it creates a shortcut. After you get to him enough times, it creates a shortcut to the next world that you can just take to try and get to the end. So to me, that's a big reward. I know it's sort of against the philosophy of the game, but I just wish there was more stuff that carried over.
That's my other problem, and it's actually one that we talked about, right, when you first told me about Spelunky during the besties of PAX.
I remember.
Was there's just no – and people were pointed to Binding of Isaac, which is a roguelike I actually did enjoy. But at least when you played that, you would find these, like, collectibles that would carry over and make it feel – you know, would be, like, at least something to show that you had played it. And Spelunky doesn't really have that.
It actually does. There are unlockable characters that you get as you play the game.
Based on how far, like, certain characters will only unlock if you do certain things in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so or you just find them randomly.
Yeah.
Yeah, only a couple of them are random. Most of them are actually very specific objectives you need to complete that are sort of a secret. But that's, I think, the equivalent to what Justin's talking about with Binding of Isaac. I do want to say, because Binding of Isaac was in my mind when I've been playing this for the last week or so, it's interesting because they're very similar games, and Edmund, who created Binding of Isaac, has said that there wouldn't have been a Binding of Isaac without Spelunky. I think the difference is Binding of Isaac is oftentimes, once you get good at it, very empowering. As you get later in the game, you sort of become this like unstoppable beast. And Spelunky, you never get there. You're always, like, very, very vulnerable and human. And it's definitely more punishing to the player. But I think it also... I mean, like, I've beaten Binding of Isaac probably, like, 15 times. And it sort of loses some of its, like, intensity if it's that easy. It's relatively easy to beat. Whereas Spelunky, I think every time you beat it is, like, a really special moment that you have.
I feel like when I speak about this game, any eloquence I have goes out the window, because I'm torn onto two sides of, like, liking the philosophy of the game design and then just also enjoying how much fun I have playing it. But to go off what you said, Justin, of making the comparison to Dark Souls and what was the other one? Super Meat Boy. I think what makes this game so special for me compared to those games is I love Super Meat Boy, and you are learning, but to some degree you're also just learning muscle memory, particularly right. In the later levels. What happens with Spelunky is the opposite of that. You have to learn skills. You have to learn what everything in the world does, how it can affect you, and then you have to continue to think about it, and you have to consider new puzzles. Like when you see an order of these things, like an exploding frog and a shopkeeper and a booby trap, and then you think, well, these are three different things I don't normally see together. How can I use them to get further in the game? I think that is what is so special about the game to me, is that you can keep playing it and keep finding out new things to do with it. I mean, it's just like a little experimental room, and that's my fun from the game. I mean, I think the scoreboards are good once you've beaten the game and once you're kind of an expert, I guess. And I definitely see how they could pull in more people if they were designed the way you're talking about, almost like Need for Speed, where you're constantly being motivated to do better than someone who's just a little bit in front of you. But at the end of the day, what I like about the game is not particularly that. It is that it's a game the little story that is there is about discovery and adventure, and the game itself is about those things. And I think it's rare that you have that sort of connection where you have a game about something and the game is actually about that very thing, where you are exploring and you are learning these new worlds and you are kind of going on an adventure every time, like Russ said, where you eventually don't, you never feel like the powerful Superman. You, every time you play it, it feels like, wow, I could die in world one, even though I've beaten the game.
Yeah. And that's nice. I genuinely enjoy the fact that it's a different game every single time you play it. It's just, there's something, it's a very, very good game, but for games that are difficult like this, I feel like games like this have to walk a balance of difficulty, where when you do get, like, screwed over, you get frustrated to, like, a point of determination. Like, you get, oh, God, that sucks. All right, let's do it again now that I know it. And sometimes Spelunky oversteps that line, where, like, I've saved up a bunch of money, I'm on 2-4, I'm on my final run before I can unlock the new shortcut, and then there's, like, a spike trap that I didn't notice literally right next to the door that kills me. Like, I'm out. I'll turn the game off and I won't play it for a few games.
Those are some of my best stories. I mean, that's why I told Russ. There was one run that was just, it was just painful. I had, like, 8 or 9 health going into the end of World 3. And
yeah.
It was, like, a perfect run. And I saw the damsel right next to the exit. She was, like, on a block right above it. And I was like, this is great. I'm going to have a ton of health. I'm going to go into World 4. This is my perfect run. I grab her. I jump down to the area below. And what I don't see is a frog hiding, like, in the water. And as I jump in, before I hit RB to go into the thing, he jumps out and nails me into the water full of piranhas, and I lose all my health and die. And at the same time, it was totally fair, because I should have known when you're jumping below, especially near water, you should throw something down there to set anything off. But I didn't do it. I could have just dropped her, she would have gone in the door, and I would have seen that frog, but I didn't do it.
And yeah, like, I think people...
That's incredible to me.
I think it's very easy, especially when you're just starting out, to look at this game and think that the game is just constantly f***ing you over. But I will confidently say that 100% of the time that you die, it's your fault.
It is always your fault.
I agree with that. Like, and that isn't my complaint. Like, I think it's fair. It just is too. It goes beyond that point of like, oh, I'm having fun now. Like, I'm not. I'm enjoying.
It does
this.
Take it. It takes a certain kind.
What I'm really curious about, because the game is so new, is how you guys feel about this game in a week or two. Because I said this before. They sent the review code out for this game close to its release, and it is not a game that is meant to be played just nonstop. It is a game that I think you like. You don't know Jack. You play it for, you know, 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes until you get frustrated, and then you take a break from it, and I think you kind of, like all learning, your brain absorbs it when you're away from it, and then you go back and play it, and suddenly you're that much better. And I think it's one of those games that if you just kind of take your time with it and don't feel the need to just get to the end and be the top of the leaderboard, you'll enjoy it all the more.
I still haven't played the multiplayer. Is there online multiplayer, or is it only split screen?
It's not split screen. It's just co-op. I mean, it's same screen, not split screen.
Okay, so is there online?
No.
That's a bummer.
It's too bad. Here's the one thing, I'm not going to excuse it because it is a shame and I wish it did have online. I would say because the game is so precise, I can't think of an online game.
It would be a
mess.
That's
like a platformer. It would just, that would be
it's
able to
already
like,
very difficult. With someone sitting
like
right next
to
you.
A hitch of lag, like, later in the game, and that would just be it.
Yeah.
So I can imagine, and not to mention the, like, number of things that are going on at any given moment. Like, a frog jumps into a trap that lands on the spikes and that's exploding and whatever. Just, like, making sure that all those things happen for both players at the exact same time. I just imagine, like, they worked on this game for 2 years. The net code to, like, make sure that happens. I can't even imagine. It must be a nightmare. So I appreciate that there are a lot of people that would be bummed to find out. That being said, I've probably sunk 15, 20 hours into it, and that's playing almost exclusively single player.
And it is great to have a good local multiplayer game. I like that. That's the other thing is, while it isn't online, I love having a game that four people can pick up and play on the couch, because there aren't that many of them.
All right, Russ, I'm ready. Do away with the pretense.
No, I think it's time. But before it's time, oh, Chris good. Plant,
uh-huh.
Are you ready for your bonus question?
Am I?
I think you are. What creatures are Alvin, Simon, and Theodore?
Chipmunks.
What?
Chipmunks.
Are you f***ing kidding me?
The correct answer is chipmunks.
Like, it wasn't already
chipmunks.
Being handed to him?
The chipmunks.
Are you shitting me?
That was a hard question.
How many holes are in your butt? No, take your time.
One.
Please, don't rush into
this. I got
one
butthole.
And I think it's time to make a decision. Does anyone have any last-minute statements?
You're an asshole.
You're an asshole.
I think you're doing a great job.
No one wants to say anything in defense of their games?
You're a dipshit. I hate your guts.
You know, it was really close, but I think that bonus question just tipped it over the edge. Gonna have to give it to Splunky.
Oh,
and given that Gravity Rush was just retired, Splunky is our new Game of the Year.
Oh, fantastic. For the time being. Congratulations, Spelunker.
Good job, Spelunker.
So proud of you. And make sure you come back and keep listening to us, the besties. We usually have a new episode every Friday when we can. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review. We're under the besties. and read us on our website, Polygon. It's located at www.theverge.com/gaming. Follow us on Twitter at Polygon. And thank you for listening. Make sure you join us again on Friday for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games? Peace.